So the funny thing about empathy, everybody thinks it's about feelings, right? And it's not. It's about understanding and connection. Feelings are one way to connect, but there's a lot of others. There's 43 different kinds of empathy. It's not just the feeling one. And it's that lack of connection. We're just missing that human-to-human thing, and we're missing some of the best parts of life.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's Seven Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat three times over, indeed. That's right, indeed. So move over three musketeers, move over three amigos. It's three treats all in one beautiful giant treat, y'all, because today's wonderful, wonderful guest. I'll speak it to existence because her book should be out by the time this goes live. She's a wonderful fellow best-selling bookcaster, y'all, because not only she joined the biz of immortality by publishing a magical book, she's also a fellow podcast host, and she's also a wonderful wife, as well as a TEDx speaker, a leadership coach, and a double EQ expert for empathy and emotional intelligence, as well as the co-founder of the Dan Weinmiller Consulting Company. So let's give it up for the double doc herself, the fabulous Dr. Melissa Robinson Weinmiller. How are you doing today, Dr. Mel?
Wow. Well, if I'm not doing good after that introduction, then I need to go check myself because that was fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, D. You've done a lot, and you're still doing more.
Yeah. Right. Always growing. Always growing. Never stopping.
Oh, yeah, that's right, indeed. She's like, yeah, folks, I'm the whole forest. All right, just one tree, dang it.
You know, I think there's something to be said for just being down for whatever. Grabbing whatever comes your way and taking the opportunities as they show up.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because sometimes they show up on rare occasions. They don't just pop out like rabbits.
They do. And sometimes they're disguised as something else. You know, you're turning garbage into gold sometimes.
You're so right about that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like, man, what the heck is this? Why is it so big? It's like, oh, man, it's a big piece of trash. Everyone's probably cleaning up. Like, oh, shoot. Oh, it's shiny. Oh.
It's yeah. Cool.
Okay.
There's gold in there. Who knew? I had to dig through the trash to find it, but there's gold in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, indeed. But, hey, I'm sure there was some sand and some magical grass before you got to the magical trash. So my feeling is set on how you became the wonderful, marvelous Dr. Melissa that you are today.
Well, I actually didn't start out wanting to do what I'm doing. I started out as a musician. I was a performing musician. I was a classical musician. I played French horn. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the traveling, but I also like food, shelter, and clothing. And being a musician sometimes doesn't pay very well. So I went back and got the first doctorate and went out to teach. I was a professor. I was a French horn professor, which there aren't a lot of those. But even though this was my dream job and I was doing what I absolutely loved, within my first term, I was assaulted by one of my colleagues, which was kind of a wake-up call. And it took me 7 years before everything spun out bad enough that I had to end up leaving my field, which was heartbreaking. But in the process, it kind of started bringing stuff up, like, why did this happen? I had some real problems. I mean, obviously the first person who assaulted me was not right. And the person above him didn't want to hear about it. He just wanted to bury everything. But I kept trying to work my way through the system and say, what's going on with this? You can't allow this here. And what I kept finding were people who maybe wanted to help that weren't bad people, but were so beat down by the system that they just didn't want to relate, couldn't relate, didn't want to hear it. You know, there was a lack of empathy. So after 7 years and losing everything, I started to try to figure out, well, where is the gold in this garbage? Because it was a lot of garbage. And I spun out. I'd been a musician since I was 4. All I ever wanted to do was play music. That was it. That was my life. And I had to figure out who I was and where I was going after that. And that's where I started trying to pick up these threads of why did this happen? And it kept coming back to a lack of empathy. Why weren't we relating? Why wasn't there an understanding? What was so wrong with this system that no one would listen? And that's when I decided that I cared about this enough that it was worth a second doctorate, which is a little insane. Not normal. I mean, you know, that's not normal. But I wanted to know this subject from the inside out. I wanted to be the person who could really explain it and teach it, if it was teachable at all, and maybe bring something to the world that was really, really needed. And so that's how I ended up on this path, even though it's never where I would have seen myself.
Yes, right, indeed. Funny how that works, indeed. I heard you getting a third doctor in statistics. Is that still true?
I want to. So this is the joke with me and my husband, that I'm going to do the academic Ironman. You know, people do the Ironman, and when people ask why do they do it, they're like, because I can, because it's there. So it's like, well, why do you want to do three doctorates? And they're in three different fields, right? So I'll have one in the arts. The one I'm doing now is in the soft sciences, and I need to do one more in the hard sciences, which would be statistics. And it's like, why do you want to do three doctorates? Because I can, because it's there. Why do you climb a mountain? Because it's there. I told you I'm not right.
I guess with all the credits you got, I mean, depending on where you decide to take it, I mean, it shouldn't be as long of a journey, I would think, outside looking in. Although some universities can be evil, be like, nope, those credits can't transfer here, buddy.
Right. There's a bit of that. I mean, coming out of music and then going back to get another degree actually was really difficult, because it was like, oh, well, you're a musician. And it's like, yeah, but I have 2 other master's degree. I have an MBA and I have a degree in statistics and data analytics. And so this should maybe count for something in the university system, right? You'd think, but it's been a big learning process in a lot of ways.
I guess numbers was your second love growing up as a mini Melissa?
No, actually, oh. I believed I was terrible in math. I thought I couldn't do it. My other grades would be fine, but like my math grades were really not great because I thought I couldn't do it. And then when I started this reawakening journey, part of what I was shaking awake was, well, is what I thought really true? And it was like, well, wait a minute. I just took a statistics class for my MBA and I liked it. I liked it. Maybe I'm not bad at this like I thought. Maybe what people told me wasn't true. So I was like, well, if you're going to find out, I guess you better find out big and loud. So, yeah. No, I was like, no, math for me. Math should grow up and solve its own problems.
You're just like me, for real, shoot. That was like me growing up. Like, yeah. I probably only had 2 good years in math. That was probably like fourth grade elementary school, and then like my first year of remedial math class at like community college, because I had a great professor who would actually explain everything properly. Like, probably my only 2 good years of math. Every other year is like, oh God, I hate this.
I know, right? I would like avoid it. I would at all costs. And now looking back, I'm like, well, shoot. Maybe what everybody tells us isn't true.
Yeah. Oh, you're right about that too. Because funny enough, now I think about it, she's been a past guest on the show. She actually has a master's in mathematics. And growing up, she would always hear that boys are better than girls at math. And I'm like, dang, is that really what it was a couple years ahead of me? Because it's like, like I was only like a couple years younger than her, and it used to be the reverse.
Oh,
girls,
yeah.
Girls are better than boys at math. And it's like, shoot, like you got a freaking master's of mathematics. Like, it's just crazy how that works. It's like, sometimes if we take the bad route of listening to other people with certain things, it's like she could have listened to them and would have went a different direction. But she was like, nah, fam, I'm going to prove y'all mofos wrong. I'm going to get a master's of math, y'all. I love me some numbers.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that too. That little bit of, hey, I'm going to do it because you told me I couldn't. So, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Heck yeah, it is, right indeed. So have you ever had one of those moments in your life where it's like, man, you know what, Melissa, you shouldn't do this thing. It's like, yeah, you should probably stay far, far away. And then you ended up doing it anyway and becoming great at it.
Yeah, I mean, math was a good example, actually. That one and just redoing my life. So after everything that had happened, I really just wanted to hide. I didn't want anybody to know who I was. I didn't want anybody to know what had happened. So the way everything went down, I mean, I was really forced to keep quiet for a long time, almost a decade. And after coming out of that forced silence, you know, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want anybody to know who I had been. I just wanted to like quietly slink into a corner and just kind of slowly die. I mean, not to be too dramatic, but that's kind of how I felt about it. I felt like when I lost my career, that everything that was me was dead. So I was just waiting to catch up. But I did the uncomfortable thing by trying to get back into it. And I mean, you can't be more present than having a YouTube channel and having a podcast and being out there and being on podcasts like yours and talking about this. But it was so uncomfortable. I just wanted to crawl out of my skin. But it needs to be said. This lack of empathy, especially within organizations, is a problem, and someone needs to say it. And I guess it might as well be me. I've already lost one career over it. Let's see how much more damage I can do. You never know.
But hey, the good news is you can always create multiple careers if you wanted to. Actually, out of curiosity, that story about the assault. So was it like your first week or first month that it happened and you stayed the rest of the 7 years, or was it like in the middle? Like, what did it even happen?
It was the first month. I mean, wow. I didn't even know where the grocery store was. You know, when you move to a brand new place, you have no support system. You have no friends. You're just trying to do your job and you know, come off as somewhat competent. And you don't even know, I didn't know where the hairdresser was. I didn't know where the dentist was. I didn't know, still trying to figure out public transportation. And I think he probably knew that. He hit me when I was vulnerable. And the problem is the department knew about this person, I found out later. So when I went to our boss, I was told flat out that as a junior female faculty member, if I was talking about this and stirring up trouble in my first term, I would never get tenure and no one would ever take me seriously. I'd never get a job in the field again. And, you know, spoiler alert, I didn't get tenure and I did end up having to leave the field. It just took 7 years.
That sucks a lot.
Yeah, it did. It did. But maybe I was there because I was supposed to be here the whole time. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. The good old garbage to gold analogy.
Right.
That's right, indeed. Glad you're still here on top of that, too, because, shoot, there's a lot of stuff be going on out in the earth. It's like, dude, what's up with people, man? Like disagreements can happen or whatever, but it's like, dude, the hell's wrong with you?
There's just that lack of understanding. So the funny thing about empathy, everybody thinks it's about feelings, right? And it's not. It's about understanding and connection. Feelings are one way to connect, but there's a lot of others. There's 43 different kinds of empathy. It's not just the feeling one. And it's that lack of connection. We're just missing that human to human thing. And we're missing some of the best parts of life.
I freaking love that. My goodness, that's like new. Because when I heard that yesterday, I was doing my homework. I'm like, wait a second. Did she just say 43 types of empathy?
Yeah.
Are you going to go through them all in your upcoming book?
No.
Oh, because I'm like, dude, that is so freaking new. Well, since you're gonna go through all 43, like, what else do folks get wrong, or should I say, don't know about empathy?
Oh man, I mean, it is massive. It's funny because, you look at these leadership books and these leadership thought leaders, and they're like, use empathy, use empathy, use empathy, use empathy. And it's like, okay, great. How do I use empathy? Well, I don't know. Go out there and use it. Well, but how do you want me to use this? Well, just do it. Well, that gives me no help at all. And the thing is about empathy is there are certain kinds of it that are more like a skill. Like cognitive empathy, right? Okay, so that means I logically understand what you're feeling. I logically understand what you're going through, what your life is like as much as I can, but I don't feel anything. So, as someone in a leadership position, having that power to be able to say, yeah, I understand these are my people, these are the people I'm trying to lead, and I logically understand what I need to do for them. I mean, that's a superpower. Because you're not taking on all those feelings. You still have your boundaries. You still are a leader and have a business to run, but you are using empathy. And that's how. Use cognitive empathy so you don't get overloaded with the emotional empathy. So you've got to know the how too. I mean, if you don't know how to do something, then you just look at it and go, I don't know. Why do you want me to do this? I don't know.
Hey, it's true. So, any
Yeah.
one or two tips for showing empathy in a cognitive way?
Absolutely. So the first one is to start with self-empathy, actually, because the more you can understand and connect with yourself, the more you can understand and connect with other people. And that's actually where I have people start. The other thing to remember is that empathy and judgment cannot exist in the same space. So you got to get rid of that judgment. If you're judging other people, chances are if you're judging other people, you're already judging yourself. So now we're back to self-empathy. But knowing that if you're feeling any kind of judgment, you're not feeling empathy. It's kind of a good check.
Okay, cool. So start with yourself as the one magical cloud before the
Yep.
rays pop out. It's like, yeah, I'm just floating, y'all. Got all this data ready to share metaphorically. Like, yeah. Like, all right, let me pull out this gavel real quick. Oh, crap, no,
Nope.
it's
Nope. Keep the judgment. Not necessary. I talk about being critical, not caring. So it's like a computer. You want to take in the information. You want to take in the data. You want to be critical. You want to look at it and understand what's going on, but you don't want to care about it. You don't want to place judgment on it. You don't want to get emotionally wrapped up. Oh man, I suck. Why did I do that? Boy, that was terrible. It's critical, not caring. Leave the judgment out. It doesn't do anybody any good.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So talking about
Yep.
indeed. I guess the one of the wonderful things, the whole 43 different types of empathy, I'm pretty sure there's a gang of other things to that are gonna be in the book, but I'm sure there's a gang of other things that didn't make it to the book. So my goodness, what was the most challenging part about putting this book together?
Oh man, keeping in mind that this is a leadership book, I actually have sketches for like six or seven of them. And it's going to be like empathy in society. I mean, those aren't the titles, but empathy in society, empathy in healthcare, empathy in academia. So I kept having to like rein myself in and go, no, that doesn't belong in this book. No, this book is going to be 8,000 pages if you keep adding all of this. And it's really interesting to you, but maybe nobody else cares about all 43 kinds. So let's just stick with leadership. Although
Yeah.
maybe they do that. I don't know.
Man, shoot, I'm curious myself. I'm like, shoot, 43. Like, why does stop at a midlife crisis number? It couldn't just like go to like AARP qualification numbers in the 50s, or maybe Social Security numbers in the 60s, like, or maybe less.
The funny thing is we didn't actually define empathy until like 1909 or something like that. So really, as we understand it, it's not very old. And it spans like biology, neuroscience, sociology. It spans all these different things. So it's constantly evolving. Our understanding of it is always kind of moving, which is super cool because it's cutting edge by nature. So who knows? It may be AARP 61 by the time we talk again. You never know.
Okay. All right. So we'll be well past the drinking age by then, too. All righty.
Exactly. Past the drinking age, past the voting age. Now we're into the buying a house age, and then we'll be into retirement.
Yeah, there we go. So I'm talking about indeed. They
Yeah.
get to one of them centenarian ages.
Hey, you know what? The world could do with a little more empathy. So if we need 100 different kinds for everybody can have a choice, let's do it. It'll be like, M&Ms. You can have the red ones and I'll take the blue ones and we each can get what we like.
That's right indeed. Your favorite color is blue, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
I knew I had a good feeling about you for a reason.
Are you a blue man too? You like that? Yeah.
Oh, yes, ma'am, indeed. Especially royal blue, definitely.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm a redhead. I can't wear red. So, or at least I was. See, again, maybe I shouldn't listen to what other people told me because I do wear red sometimes, but I do like blue. It's calming and trustworthy, and it pops.
Ah, yes, it does indeed. Besides your nose, maybe it's good to wear some more red, so that way it can be well red.
Maybe I should throw out the window everything everybody told me, right?
Exactly, like the classic, don't wear white after Labor Day. It's like,
Oh,
why?
yeah.
Like,
No. No.
that's a lot.
Right? Oh, there's nothing cooler than like all white, like in the winter when everything is white, or like that super crisp, clean white. I like that. Totally against the rules. Doesn't really matter.
Heck yeah, that's right indeed. I think I know
Yep.
what they were doing. They were like, wait, somebody got scared because someone acted like an abominable snowman in the snow and they're wearing all white. So that's probably why they made that rule. Like, no white after Labor Day. It's not law, but dang, it's unofficial. Someone scared me too bad once. They were acting like an abominable snowman and they had on all white.
That's true. They were like camouflaged in the snow and jumped out. It's like no more of that nonsense. I think you're onto something.
Funny if that was actually true too, be like, oh wow, I was just messing around. All right.
would. That would be awesome, though. I like those kind of stories where it's like, really? That's how it started, huh? Oh. Who knew?
So what you learned about yourself through this whole book writing process?
That I had more to offer than I thought I did. I kind of went into this as kind of like, all right, we'll just give this a shot. This will probably never see the light of day. Let's do it. And the more I got into it, the more I'm like, this is stuff I think people really need to hear. This is stuff we really need to be talking about. So, maybe I have more to offer. I mean, this is from someone who thought she was washed up at 45. So,
Oh,
maybe I have more to offer than I thought.
darn right, you got more to offer.
That's
Freaking
right.
two doctors going for a third shoot, learning about empathy and so-called soft skills that can be hard for some folks to learn at first. Like, hey, you got a lot to offer now. You got a whole smorgasbord in that brain of yours.
Yeah. It's interesting, but I'm coming to believe that.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot. Funny enough, it's like, especially with and they call it middle age, but it's like at the end of the day, it might not really be that much of a middle because the middle has expanded because there's a lot of folks living a lot longer these days. So it's like, yeah, you still got some long runway ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels pretty good, actually. There's a big bad world out there, and I want to be out in the middle of it, talking and having conversations and getting other people to talk about it.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, so since you're a musician for real, like a classically trained with a freaking doctor in it, my goodness, so does music play a role in empathy at all?
Empathy being about connection and understanding, I would think so, because music can play the same role. They talk about music being a language unto itself, and that You know, I know when I was touring and traveling, sometimes I'd be in orchestras where none of us spoke the same language, but we could all come together and understand and connect through the music. They talk about having studies where they'll go into inner city schools or places that are kind of war-torn and ravaged around the world, you know, more globally, and that people may not have that understanding and connection, but through music, there's common ground. So I would think it's very likely.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Yes, indeed. Because sometimes it's like, you know what? I listen to this music here. Listen to some good old J-Rock. It's like, I don't understand a word they're saying, but I feel the emotion.
Exactly, right? You know, or the stuff that you used to listen to at a certain time of your life, and maybe you haven't heard it in years, and then all of a sudden it pops up and those emotions come right back. Or that summer when that one song that they played too much on the radio and you hated, but you haven't heard in 20 years, and all of a sudden it pops back up. You know, like Spice Girls? Yeah, like that.
That's right, indeed. If I'm not, yeah, it was a girl's I Just Want to Have Fun, if I'm not mistaken. Was that another artist?
No, that was Cyndi Lauper, but it's the same kind of popsy thing, yeah.
It's true, indeed. So, yep. My goodness, so since you've been on quite a few interviews, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
You know, I wish more people would ask me about the how. It's going back to what we were talking about earlier. I get so much of this, well, just use your empathy. But how do people use their empathy? I want to give people the tools to use the empathy. I don't want to just be like, okay, go on out and use it. Good luck. I want to show them how, because there's a certain amount of it that is a skill. Not all of it, but some of it is. Some of it can be learned. So I wish I would get asked that question more often, which you did. So props to you. You were like ahead of the curve.
There we go. That's right, indeed. Ahead of the curve, indeed. That's right, indeed. Already got to the end.
That's before right. Before
it went full expansion of the curve. Let me stop.
Right. You were so far ahead, it wasn't even a curve. It was a circle.
There we go. You'll love to see it. So, my goodness, since you're a fellow podcast host, indeed, I always like to ask fellow hosts their top three lessons learned from starting, growing, and running the show. So, what are your top three lessons?
Number one, don't be afraid to start. Messy action is still action, because my early episodes and even some of my early stuff on YouTube is pretty rough. And I didn't have the right setup. I didn't have the right equipment. I'm still trying to figure out the equipment. I'm not an AV person. But don't be afraid to just dig in and go, and you're probably going to get a few bumps and bruises along the way. Number two, really work with people that bring out the best in you and that you bring out the best in them, because they always end up being the best guests. You know, they may not be the biggest names or the coolest people or the most in or whatever, but it doesn't matter, you know? We have so many people out in the world, and we have such a big, wide choice of people. So choose the ones that light you up and that you can light up too. I think that's pretty important. And the third one, don't let money hold you back. You can do this on the cheap. So don't feel like you have to have a VA and you have to have a podcast person. You have to have all these things. Just see, we're back to messy action, I guess. Just go do it. You got something to say, go say it, because the world needs to hear it.
It's true indeed. Yeah, because it's like, shoot, that's the good thing about podcasting. It's a low barrier to entry. Like anybody with a working mic and a decent Wi-Fi connection, you're straight. You got it covered.
Absolutely. Or if you want to really, use your phone. You don't even need that. You know, if you want to say it and you want to do it, you maybe know this better than I do, but it's like most podcasts only make it to like 9 episodes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go do it. Go blog about your life. Go interview people you think are interesting. Go, you know, make your life something that's going to enrich humanity. Get it out there.
Yep, it's true indeed. It's true indeed. Because it's so true. It's like, hey, like, if you want to do something, go ahead and do it. Don't be scared, y'all. It's right indeed. You got the tools. It's right indeed. Set yourself up for success. It's
That's
right
right.
indeed. That's right indeed. So, my goodness. So, I know you had the assault years ago and had to leave and not get tenure. But has there been
Yeah.
any other major setbacks that stick out to you that actually was a setup for success for you?
You know, after I left that job, my husband and I moved to a small town in Michigan. And we had had a house there, but because of circumstances and everything that happened with my job and stuff, we ended up having to sell it. But the town had put down a whole bunch of laws as we were trying to sell it, saying that we had to be able to put in a brand new septic tank, and we had to be. It came from what I understand was good intent. There had been people that were dumping wastewater into the rivers, and that's not okay. But the problem is, they didn't actually think, right? Understanding a connection. They didn't think about what this was going to do to homeowners, because this was like $10,000 to do it. And we were getting out of this house because we couldn't afford it. And we actually had a buyer. We were going to sell it, and then we ended up not being able to because of this law. And it was a law, there was no getting around it. And we ended up with a foreclosure and stuff that follows you around for 7 to 10 years. And it took a bad situation and really made it worse. We had some really, really hard financial times because of that. Now, in the long run, I think it was good because when I write my book about empathy in the government, you better believe that story is going to be front and center. And how looking at people as a group and not stopping to understand, well, how would this affect if it were my mother? How would this be affect, you know, if it were my sister or my wife or my kid? This is how we end up with these problems where large groups of people are hurt and it feels like nobody cares. So I think that's going to come into good. That's going to be garbage into gold too. But at the time, it sure didn't feel like it.
Yeah, definitely. That's freaking rough right there. Yeah, that's freaking rough. It's like, thank God it foreclosure now. Crap. Darn
Yeah.
it.
Well, and you know how it is with our credit system. You try to explain that to people and they don't want to hear it. And it's like, but wait a minute, I had no control over this. And it's like, well, but except there's no understanding, there's no connection, there's no empathy. So these are the things that really put me on this path.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. It's all right, the power of empathy, y'all. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. It's like, hey, if you're
Yeah.
talking, it means you got a brain that's working somehow in there. Like, hey, use it a little bit.
I don't know. Some people talk and I wonder sometimes, but I think it's possible. Sorry, that wasn't very nice, was it?
It's like, ah, they're being remote controlled.
Maybe the mothership is here. We don't even know it. I don't know. Completely slipped by us all.
That would be funny. Be like, dang, all
Right?
right.
The pod people? What is that? Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Yeah.
Yep, indeed. That's right, indeed. I don't think I got snatched to my knowledge. That's good.
I don't think so either. That's probably why we're having a fun conversation because we haven't been snatched yet. Never know.
It's all good though. It's all good though. Oh, hey, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, The Empathic Leader, How EQ and Empathy Transforms Leadership for Better Product Productivity and Innovation. If that book were food, what would it be?
Wow. If that were a food, it would probably be bittersweet chocolate. 'Cause there's some stuff in there that's a little bitter and might be kind of hard to swallow. But at the end of the day, it's going to be super rich and provide a lot of good things if you can get past that bitterness.
There you go. So indeed. That's right. She's
Yeah.
a chocolate lover too, I bet.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, without a doubt.
yes, right indeed. It's like, up. Oh. It's like, yeah, I know the explanation, but it's like, ah, oh, no, she's a chocolate lover. I know it.
Oh yeah. Anytime, any day. Breakfast, sure. Midnight, sure. Good to have a little sweetness now and again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely indeed. It's here on the earth for a reason.
Absolutely. I agree.
Oh, man. Well, we definitely got to have you back on the show for your future books, too. So we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is going to wake up tomorrow. And you're 25 again in 2025. What advice would you give to yourself?
Don't stop. Whatever you're doing, you're going to get pulled in directions you never saw coming. You're going to see your whole world turned upside down and wonder what the heck is going on. But whatever you do, even though you're going to feel like you're flailing around and you have no idea what's going on, just don't stop. Keep going, whatever that means. Even if keeping going just means getting out of bed and running the dishwasher today, don't stop.
There you go, y'all. Sorry, indeed. Don't stop, indeed. That's right. That's right. Even if you get enough, don't stop. Stop.
Yeah, that too. Because you never know where those opportunities are. You never know what's waiting around the edges. You never know what's 10 minutes in the future. Life is weird. Things happen. So all you really have to do is show up, but that means you can't stop.
There you go, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Hashtag it's going north for a reason and not going north. Because, hey, there's still more to do. Don't stop, yo. That's right, indeed. And Double Doc herself saying, hey, don't stop either. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. I know folks don't need to stop here with having the good Double Doc in their ears, a.k.a. the future Triple Doc in their ears, and need to keep up with you and your wonderful journey and buy multiple copies of your book. So for those who need to do just that and more, what's the best way for folks to do so?
The best place to catch me is on my website, and that's at EQVIA Empathy. So EQ. It's like saying looking at emotional intelligence through the lens of empathy, but that's just way too long for a website. So it's EQ via empathy. And you can always catch me on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram. Yeah, LinkedIn's probably the best place. I'm there a lot.
Well, there you have it, folks. Get LinkedIn with the y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed, because the Double Doc has got you covered like a blanket, y'all. That's right, indeed. She's got you covered like three during the winter time, y'all. That's right, indeed. So check out all of her wonderful ways and keep up with them. Be sure to subscribe to her podcast, too, because she's got some good stuff cooking over there, y'all. She's still just getting started. And the bonus points is that her book that comes out, she's also doing the audio, too. So if you enjoy the brainwashing session, you love having the good Doc's voice in your ears, you get to have him in your ears for a lot longer on top of that, too. So be sure to check out all that wonderful goodness. We're going to put it all in the show notes so you can do just that. So any parting words before we close up shop, Dr. Melissa?
Just use that self-empathy. Be good to yourself. Understand and connect with yourself, and understand that that means looking at the dark bits and the light bits, but that's okay. Because at the end of the day, we're all just human beings being human. And that's beautiful.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog, too, while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.